Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Love Pastor John and Chantel. Love them so much and the way they're leading our church in this season. Love all of you. We've got some of our, as you can hear, some of our staff and support crew here. So thank you for being here. And you at home, if you're in your dressing gown, if you're in your tracksuit, you might be in your Sunday best, you might be having a brunch with your family, you might have your cup of tea. But let me tell you right now, I believe that this morning is going to be destiny defining. So tell someone that might be a bit distracted, hey, listen up. This message is going to be for you. Turn up the volume, sit up a bit straighter, lean in, because I know God, whether you got baptized a couple of weeks ago, whether you're new to our church, whether you're a young adult, whether you're one of our wonderful over 70s, I love you. God has something for each and every one of you, all of our teens. So you ready for God to speak to you? We're continuing with our series, Now is the Time. Now is the time for God to speak to you. So let me pray for you. If you can, maybe put your hand on your heart. That's where all our issues come from, and that's where we are changed from the inside out. So Lord, I thank you. Your word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So right now, speak to our heart. Interpret your word. Divide it up hundreds of ways this morning to exactly what our heart needs. Changes from the inside out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the room. And if you are excited for God to speak to you, maybe pop something in the chat. I love that you're all commenting. And we've got David, we've got Rita. She's ready to receive the word. Let's go, Rachel. Thank you, Rita. I appreciate all of the encouragement. I had Sheila send me a text this morning. My mum sent me a text this morning. Katie sent me a text cheering me on. So the most important thing is the Holy Spirit is going to speak through this word to your heart. So I love Ecclesiastes 3:1, which has been our scripture in this season. To everything there is a season, to every purpose under heaven. And then it lists all the things, a time to be born, a time to love, a time for peace. And then my favorite is in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Question, do you trust his timing? Do you really trust that he is actually working everything together for good? Looking back over our lives, the main time that there's been lots of times where I had to really trust God and step out courageously was actually a couple of years ago when we followed the call of God and planned to move from Australia to England. And I remember it was a big risk because moving our children, our daughters 13 and 18 at the time, young adult and teen, stability was paramount. The risk of finances, we were leaving a house that we'd built and coming to, and at that time, an uncertain income. And we were going to be based here and ministering in churches across the UK, and it was a risk at this stage in our lives where you want a bit more stability. But we knew that God had called us to be building the Church of Jesus Christ in the UK and helping pastors John and Chantel build Soul Church. We knew that without a doubt, but it was still risky. It was still, we had to be courageous to put in our notice, to tell our bosses, to resign, to take that step. When you take off on a plane, that point of no return, to say goodbye to friends and family, people there that we built relationship with, we didn't want them to misunderstand our move. It was a challenge to get onto that plane and leave behind my oldest daughter who was continuing with her studies. It was a challenge when we got back a few weeks into it and we picked up all the bugs that were around, got a bit of flu. The house that we were supposed to live in fell through and I was missing my daughter, Melody. Do you know what I had to do in that moment? I remember in tears one night saying, God, I thank you. This is my most quoted verse in the whole Bible. I don't know what yours is. Maybe you could pop it in the chat if you've got a favorite verse that you go to in tough times. My favorite is Romans 8:28. It might be yours too. All things, actually starts, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Do we really know? Yes, we believe God. We believe we're called and we love him, but do we really know? He's working all things to good, for our good. For many of you, your courage and your risk-taking moment will be very different from mine. Yours might be family, it might be health, it might be finance. But can I encourage you that in this Heart for House season, God, as Pastor John and Chantal have already said, is working miracles. He's working behind the scenes. And maybe you want to step up and give, but you're not sure because of everything that's going on in this season, everything that's so uncertain. And you're like, how can he work this together for good? How can he make my situation beautiful in his time? He's able. Pop it in the chat if you need a courage moment today. If you need an encouragement, put some courage in. So the message title is You're for Such a Time as This. This phrase comes from the famous, challenging, dramatic story of Esther. Now, I'm not just speaking to the girls because it's a book of Esther, all the guys lean into. There's a hero in here called Mordecai as well. Now, if you're new to the Bible, you're going to love the story of Esther. If you're familiar with the story, just open up your eyes and your ears a little bit more, and God is going to show you something fresh. Esther's the only book of the Bible that doesn't mention God, but you can see him working behind the scenes. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not present. Now let's set the scene. So Jerusalem has been besieged by the Persian king Cyrus, Persian king Nebuchadnezzar. And he's carried away, the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. And he carries God's people away into exile and captivity. And about 70 years later, Babylon falls. And it's taken over by the Persian king, King Cyrus. Now, he miraculously allows the Jewish people to return back home to Jerusalem. But some of them have made a home for themselves and got quite comfortable and chose to remain in Persia. They'd forgotten their homeland, Jerusalem. But God had not forgotten his people. The magnificent Persian Empire spanned 127 provinces from Ethiopia to India and was actually the most powerful king ruling the known world at that time. He was a party pomp loving rich king, Ahasuerus. His queen Vashti, at one of his big elaborate parties, refused to come at his request, display her beauty before all his dignitaries. So he decided to get rid of her, just like that. And his advisors advised him to choose from hundreds of beautiful young virgin girls living in the capital of Susa, a beauty pageant, to choose his next queen. So against this backdrop, we zoom in on the story, the young girl Esther. So she's Jewish, she's orphaned, she's an ethnic minority, no rights, no standing in society, living in a foreign land, being raised by her cousin, Mordecai. Mordecai's a Jewish man, he's godly, he loves Esther, he loves the Jewish people. Now I'm amazed and encouraged that God always uses ordinary people. Some of you might feel marginalized and alone like Esther. Esther's world is about to dramatically change. In one day, she goes from the safe home of Jewish home of Mordecai, her adopted father, to the palace. Now, this isn't grand. This is actually modern day. We would call this trafficking. She would be taken against her will to the palace, groomed to sleep with a pagan king. Now, whether or not the king chooses her to be his queen, she would then, having slept with him, become the king's property forever. She forfeited the right of having a family, leaving a home. And you know, parents, what would you think? Imagine what Mordecai felt. What would we feel like as women? But she went in poised, full of grace. The Bible says she obtained favor of all around her. She trusted God. She's picked out of 400 women, scholars say, to become the queen of Persia. She has to prepare for a whole year for one night with the king. So the villain in our story, start hissing. You can hiss at home. Come on, let's create a bit of drama here. The villain is Haman. He's the king's chief advisor. He's descended from the Amalekites, the historical enemies of the Jewish people. He's the command and control narcissist. He expects palace staff and servants to bow down to him. And Mordecai, who's a gatekeeper for the king, refuses, because he's a good Jew, he refuses to bow down to Haman. So this makes Haman really angry, and he uses his persuasion and his position to tell the king, or persuade the king, to sign an edict that the whole Jewish people, not just Mordecai, the entire Jewish nation would be annihilated. So they send the word out, the king agrees, and in January, the royal law is passed. And the date for the genocide is set to be carried out in the December. Imagine knowing that for a whole year, that you're going to die. The news filters out, social media all over the place. Fear starts spreading like a pandemic. And throughout the province, God's people are mourning their impending doom. Have you ever been there? Paralyzed by the fear of something impending. Mordecai had been pacing up and down, listening for news of Esther. He actually gets the news across to her of the king's decree. The hopes of the nation now rest upon this orphaned, trafficked, ordinary girl that has become the queen of Persia. The plan involves Esther taking a risk to summon up her courage. Now, this young girl, scholars say, would have been between 16 and 20 years old. So our young adults and teens watching, to summon up courage to approach the king. You say, why is that a big deal? Esther points out that everyone knows it's illegal to approach the king without being called, without being asked, even as his wife. And the penalty, unless the king extends his golden scepter, the penalty is death. So unless he extends the scepter and calls the person by name, the penalty is death. As she ponders whether she has the courage to take this step, Mordecai poses this deeply challenging question that I want to share with you. This is our key text, Esther 4, verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Could it be you are here today, here in this room or on the chat, in online, for such a time as this? Could it be that you are in your particular family, in your particular school, in your particular uni for such a time as this? Could it be that you are living here in the UK, in Norwich, for such a time as this? I believe that we are. Could it be that you are part of Soul Church for such a time as this? This is your time. Now is our time. Have you got your elastic bands from Pastor John preaching last week on the stretch? It's our time. I've used this so many times this week. I feel like we're stretched all the time these days. It's our time to stretch. Are you ready? What if God has positioned us to bring hope in a nation that's paralyzed by fear and disease and worry? What if it's your for such a time as this? So first of all, listen, if you're taking notes, first of all, God is preparing you for your such a time as this. One of the key themes in this story is preparation. Esther has to prepare externally. She has to beautify herself for a whole year under government lockdown. She's not allowed out. Each woman in Esther 2 verse 12, their turn comes to go to the king after she had completed 12 months preparation according to the regulations of women. 6 months of oil of myrrh, 6 months with perfume, and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each woman would go to the king. Now, us girls, we listen to that and think, oh, I wouldn't mind a bit of pamper, a bit of spa for a couple of weeks, but an entire year? And that's all you do. She had plenty of time to also prepare internally. In fact, when she made the decision to step up and approach the king, she first of all decides to prepare with prayer. She moves from the facts that she hadn't been called to the king for the past 30 days. She could have been out of favor. She moves from facts to faith. She moves from decrees to God's sovereignty. She knew that fasting and praying would change the spiritual atmosphere and actually change the heart of the king. In Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it. He can turn it wherever he wishes." God can turn the heart of a pagan king. He can turn the heart of governments. He can turn the heart of rulers. He can turn the heart of your boss, your spouse. He can turn people's hearts. So Esther gets everyone together. And she, in Esther 6 verse 16, she says, "Go gather all the Jews. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast. When this is done, I will go." When this is done, I will go to the king. And even though it's against the law, if I perish, I perish. That was a costly prayer. That was a dangerous prayer. We had a series called Dangerous Prayers at the start of lockdown. I think we need to revive and refresh in this next fasting season some dangerous, costly, put it out there, audacious prayers that God can move on your behalf for your such a time as this. I want to encourage you to trust God's timing when you pray. That's the bit that I'm challenged with. Is anybody else over in the chat challenged with timing when you pray? Stacy is saying, "Be prepared, people, for your for such a time as this." Go, Stacy. We're ready. Stephanie, she loves the story of Esther. We're in this. Keep with me. Guys in the chat, keep popping in the things that you find difficult in waiting on God's timing. You see, Esther, when she went before the king, he extends the golden scepter to her. She could have blurted out straight away, "We're going to die. Haman's the enemy." But she didn't. She prepared even further. You can read the story yourself, but in Esther 5:4, she acts with strategy and preparation by inviting the king and the adversary Haman to a banquet. She knows the king loves banquets, but she knows that she's trusting God's timing. And it's in that 24-hour period, some significant events take place that actually set into motion a change of the king's heart, preparing him to the next day change the edict that all of the Jewish people would now be saved and they'd be able to fight for themselves. What happens is that night, the king cannot sleep. God can even use a sleepless night. Someone needed to hear that. He realized that Mordecai, when he read these old chronicles that were read during the night, Mordecai had never been honored for a time when he'd actually saved the king's life as a gatekeeper sometime previously. And so the story in that 24 hours, Mordecai gets honored by his enemy Haman. And Haman is so angry that he's forced to honor this enemy. He goes back home to his wife and he's livid and he builds 75 feet gallows to hang his enemy on the next day. Little does he know those gallows are for his own fate. And so we come to the next day, and because of Esther's patient preparation, it enabled God's perfect plan. Trust his timing. He's working behind the scenes. He's working all the details together for good. Beginning on October 26th, we're going to join together. We're going to fast and we're going to pray as a church. We're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for people to come to know Jesus. We're going to pray for our pastors, John and Chantel. We're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray for God to enlarge our heart for this house. We're going to pray most of all for a deeper love for Jesus, for recognition that during this season, he's actually preparing us all internally and externally. He's done a lot in me in this season, brought things to the surface that need to be dealt with. He's preparing us for such a time as this. My heart for God's house was massively enlarged last weekend. I don't know if it because we hadn't been together for a while or what it was, but when I came in here, having those impromptu conversations with you, people that we haven't seen for ages, worshiping and looking around and seeing you trust God and worship God, and the atmosphere of faith as we were declaring the Church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit lit the flame, that we shall not kneel and we shall not faint, and we were declaring the church and we were declaring God's faithfulness and goodness, and my heart leapt and I thought, I love the house of God. My heart was enlarged. My heart was enlarged when I picked up these requests and read through them all this week. We put these in on the weekend and it's all of your requests. And as I read these, I literally started to cry because I literally felt God's heart for you. And I read through and you're believing for people that you love to come to know Jesus. You're believing for healing. You're believing that so many of you are lonely. You've written it down. So many of you are praying for a partner, someone to do life with. So many of you are praying for freedom from mental illness, loads. Many of you are praying for your business to turn around, for family members to come to Jesus, for houses to sell, for houses to buy, for confidence to move forward in this season and see your dreams come to pass. Can I tell you that we serve a God that is able to do more than we can ask or think? That my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Jesus. That by his stripes you are healed. He can restore and renew all things. And so we agree together. And in Isaiah 58, it says, this is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, that you break every yoke. Then your light shall break forth speedily. Break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily. I believe there's going to be some speedy healings. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry. Some of you have cried tears. You've cried. God's heard your cry. and he will say, here I am. Those from among you shall build. There's that word for this year. We shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. From our kids to our teens, from our young adults to our young families, to our over 70s, our singles, our marrieds, whether you're new, whether you've been in church for years, God has called us to be repairers and restorers. He's called us to build foundations for generations to come. If you didn't fill out one of these prayer cards, maybe pop a prayer request in the chat. Maybe you can pop one into church during the week or email us, because we want to continue praying for you and believing God. Over the past 15 years, in this Heart for the House season, Steve and I, Melody and Mercy, our family, as we've written our prayer requests, both in Australia and here, as we've given to God, we have found most of our significant miracles across the years, whether it's for healing, whether it's opportunity, favor, whether it's for a new home, financial, it's been in this Heart for House series. Since we've been back in England, God has blessed us as we've given to sow into this good soil, as we've given to help the church across the UK. God has blessed, and God is good. He wants to bless you. The Apostle Paul encourages us to prepare our giving. In 2 Corinthians 9:5, he says, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren and the sisterin to prepare ahead of time. Prepare your generous gift ahead of time, which you previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not obligation. Prepare with prayer. Trust God's timing and prepare to give in this season for such a time as this. Secondly, God's favor will always accompany your for such a time as this. His favor will enable the call of God to be fulfilled on your life. The favor theme is central in this story of Esther. From when she enters the palace in chapter 2:15, Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Then her massive favor moment, as I described, her heart must have been thudding in her chest and jumped to her mouth dry as the king extends the favor, his golden scepter. He calls her Queen Esther. He calls her by name. He actually does that twice in this story. And he actually offers her half of his kingdom three times. She had exceptional favor to fulfill her destiny and calling. Your king delights in you. He calls you by name. Nudge someone beside you on the settee there, wherever you are. In the room, he calls you by name. You are favored. You are loved. You are favored. You are blessed. I'm just checking across in the chat. We've got Stacy and Rita commenting, gosh, you guys are going for it. I find that coincidences happen when I pray. Yes, they do. They are God coincidences when we pray. But your king delights in you. Isaiah 43:1 says, the Lord created you. He has formed you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. His golden scepter of approval is holding out to you right now. You are favored. You are loved. Favor continued for Esther, even after hers and Mordecai's lives are spared and their immediate enemies are defeated. The king offers her more, for goodness sake. In chapter 9, verse 12, he says to her, Esther, now what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your further request? It shall be done. We need to keep favor-minded in this season. Keep bringing a further request. It actually says in Psalm 30, God's favor lasts a lifetime. It doesn't run out. Your king delights to give you good things. Mordecai ends up highly favored. He goes from a disregarded minority to royalty. Actually becomes, amazing, a Jewish leader, second to the king. God's favor is going to enable some Mordecais to stand up. Some Esthers to stand up for such a time as this. Maybe his favor is going to give you a promotion. Maybe his favor is a friend opening a door for you. Maybe he wants to bring you some new friends that will be friends to your destiny. Maybe the favor is someone is going to prefer to sell something to you rather than someone else. Maybe your favor is that house that's going to sell. Maybe the right buyer. Maybe favor that there's going to be preferential treatment. Favor in your business. Favor at school. Favor with your teachers. Favor with family relationship. Favor even in COVID. Expect the best. I sign off my Gmail emails with expect the best. So whether I'm ordering anything online or emailing teachers at the school or pastors across the country, they get expect the best. We need to remind ourselves we serve a God that is not limited by pandemics or pessimists. Yeah. Don't be a negative Nigel. Oops, sorry, Nigel. Sorry, Nigel. Nigel is not a negative man. The one I'm thinking of, he's a good man. Be a happy Hannah. Be a positive Paul. Actually, in the hairdressers yesterday, my hairdresser was asking, how are you? How's things going? And as I was sat there, I was just telling her what great things are happening in church. I was having a date night with my hubby that night. Mercy was doing great at school. I was excited because I'd had to cancel all my hair appointments. And for whatever reason, I was excited to be there. So I was really upbeat. And she said, unbelievable. She said, you are the first person I've had in here that's had something positive to say about this season. This pandemic. She said, you wouldn't believe how many people are moaning about the government, moaning about this and their opinion about this. She says, I get home at the end of the day and I'm exhausted, not because I've been cutting hair all day, but because I've been listening to all of this. She is actually refreshing. We're called to bring refreshing to people, to bring hope to people, to bring a positive aspect, a positive perspective. And so favor in God's time, favor actually says in Proverbs 12, verse 2, if your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord. Our disposition attracts God's favor. In Proverbs 12, verse 2, it says, a good man or woman obtains favor from the Lord. That word obtain in the Hebrew means to draw it out, like priming a pump. We draw on God's favor by being courageous, by putting him first, by having a heart for his house, by trusting his timing, by preparing. Number three, so first of all, we prepare for such a time as this. Secondly, his favor accompanies for such a time as this. And thirdly, have courage to step out into your for such a time as this. Esther's decision to step up and risk her life for the sake of her people took great courage. The Bible says in Esther 4:4, she was deeply distressed. She's very human. She's petitioning a man that changed his mind very quickly, that her predecessor, Vashti, he just got rid of her for disobeying him. She was not only risking her position, she was risking her life. She courageously makes that statement, if I perish, I perish. She has a whatever it takes courage, a step out in faith courage. She's prepared, she's prayed, she knows she has favor. She doesn't let her age, her background, people's opinion, her gender, her race prevent her from stepping into her destiny. We must be willing to take some risks if we're truly going to make a difference. Do not be afraid is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. That's one for every day. It's not God's will that you should be fearful even for one day during this pandemic. Courage is a door handle on the inside that no one else can open for me. It cannot be given or done for me. I choose to turn that handle. I choose courage. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to your courage. Courage is not to walk familiar ground or a popular path. It's listening to the still, small voice and step out to make a difference. The safest place on this earth to be is in the will of God. So courage isn't the absence of fear. It's saying, I'm going to do it anyway. It's courage to make that call. Courage to start the group or join a group. It's courage to step out and action a dream that's in your heart. It's courage to believe God for your healing. It's courage to buy that house. Courage to tell your friend or neighbor about Jesus. Courage to start that business. Courage to have that difficult conversation. Courage to give sacrificially to Heart for the House this year. Maybe one of our youth, you need courage to stand for what you know to be right. A young adult, you need courage for big decisions. Maybe your parent, you need courage to pray and look after your kids however old they are. For our over 70s, you need courage to keep strong and healthy. And Psalm 92 says you'll be fresh and flourishing and continue to bear fruit in older age. We need to encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to put courage into each other more and more and more and more. Put something encouraging in the chat. Text someone today, call someone today, tell your husband or wife or your friend or your daughter or your parents how much you love them and encourage them. I read an Instagram by Pastor Brian Houston this week. Listen to this. He said, encouragement breaks the binds of limitation and looses the cords of possibility. Imagine if our collective courage could break the binds of limitation when it comes to Heart for the House this year. Imagine if our collective courage could loose the cords of possibility, the possibility of a financial miracle, even in the middle of a global pandemic, that our church can be built, the possibility that when everything is going backwards, our church and the church of Jesus Christ is moving forwards, because with God, all things are possible. That Soul Church will be a beacon of light, a hope in our city, a monument to the glory of God, a church that says, a church of Jesus Christ that says we are stronger than ever. We are not fainting. We are not drawing back. A place where the cross of Jesus Christ is raised and will draw many men, women, children, ordinary people like you and I, to come to know Him, to step into there for such a time as this. The cross is very central in the story of Esther. The Old Testament is a foreshadow of the New Testament. It actually points to Jesus. And the most beautiful description of Jesus sacrificially giving His life is seen in the story of Esther, where He literally stands between the law and the people. Because of His immense love, He steps into our world, our broken world. And He sacrifices not just for one nation. He sacrifices Himself for the entire world and for you. He put His love in action. He invites us now to respond to His love. If you're in the room, maybe start praying if you already love Jesus. But some of you might not yet know Him as your Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you right now that God didn't only extend His love to you so that you can be accepted by a holy God. He actually wants you to belong. He wants you to come as you are. He wants to give you forgiveness for your past and meaning and purpose right now. And He wants to give you a hope and a future. He wants you to come to His throne. It's not a scary place to come to His throne. In fact, we can approach that throne at any time of day or night. Hebrews 4:16 says, come with confidence. Draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and help in time of need. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation. I helped you. I tell you, this is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is your time. If you know that's you, young person, older person, you want to say yes to Jesus, to relationship with him, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Or maybe you've once walked with God, but you've turned away and you've got a bit cold in your heart and discouraged in this season. He's holding out his arms, his scepter, his favor, saying, come, come, come. Now is the time. Say this prayer in this room and over online, over the screen. Say it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Right now, I say yes to you. I choose you. I ask that you come into my heart and life. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you that I will live forever, that I'm your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud each and every one that has responded to Jesus today? We're applauding you. And if you made that decision today, we would love to make sure that you download the Bible app on your phone. And there's some instructions online. You can text a number online, or you can go onto our website and let us know, because I would love to call you. Our team would love to call you and encourage you in your decision this week. But can I encourage each and every one of you in this season, prepare with prayer. In this season, recognize God is doing something new. He's preparing you for such a time as this. Recognize that his favor is extended to you, and have the courage to step up. We're just gonna sing a little part of this song together. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Keep your eyes on this one truth. He is with you, he is for you. Let's worship together in these closing moments. Love you, church.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.